Verse 1, Acts 1, verse 1. I didn't tell you where to go, did I? Did I? Acts 1. Not Acts 2, Acts 1. Like I say, I will be short today. Kristen told me, Kristen puts the stuff on the internet now. She said, I'm going to be real short. She said, and 55 minutes later, I finished. So it's not going to be like, she wasn't spanking me. She was just teasing me. She's got proof, though. So I'm convicted. Forgive me, Jesus. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach. Did you notice that? All the things he was going to write about, all the things that Jesus did, and Jesus taught the things he did, didn't he? He didn't want to just do all these miracles and signs and wonders and get crucified and go and nobody remember what he did, right? They wanted remembrance. Jesus wanted remembrance. Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And that speaking, I'm going to look at that today a little bit, but to speak in this, the Greek in this, to speak, to affirm over, to teach, to exhort, to advise, to command, to direct, to intend, to call by name, to call, to name, name, to speak out. In other words, call something by name, not just some vague prayer. It's to call out by name. It's to call out what God wants us to do. It's to call it out. Because he said he spoke of the things pertaining to what? The kingdom of God. That's what he spoke about. That's all Jesus ever spoke about, really, I think. Acts 20, 29, and it goes both ways. God uses things to speak, and the enemy wants his word spoken too, doesn't he? And this is 20, 29. I know this. Know this, that after my departure, this is Paul, savage wolves will come in among you. What do you mean, come in among you? Who's he talking to? Who's Paul talking to? He's talking to the church, isn't he? He said, when I leave, savage wolves are going to come in and not spare the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things. And perverse means, it's a little different than what I thought it means, but it means to distort, to turn aside, to oppose, to plot against the saving purposes and plans of God, to turn aside from the right path, to pervert, to corrupt. There will be wolves come in speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Go to Romans 4. Verse 13. And this kind of starts in the middle, but it's Abraham, talking about Abraham. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him who he believed. God gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope and hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. But what I was pulling out is verse 17, where it says, God who gives life to the dead, and he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And I'm going to read that in the Amplified. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of non-existing things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. So I was thinking of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Well, the covenant. I was thinking about in the Old Covenant, what dead things, I thought, what's the most radical dead thing in the Hebrew Scriptures that you can think of that was resurrected? What's the most radical thing you can think of? Can you think of one? Immediately, Ezekiel popped into my mind, the Valley of Dry Bones. Said there was many, many bones and they were very, very dry. And the Lord basically said, what? Can these bones live? And Ezekiel basically said, Lord, if you say so, yeah, that's what he was saying, if you say so, they can live, right? But he told Ezekiel, why did he tell Ezekiel to speak to the bones? Why didn't God just go, bones, arise, live, breathe? Why did he do that? No trick question.
Because through Christ we can do the same.
Through Christ we can do the same. Awesome. God has always used people. If you look all through the Bible, he has always used people to carry out his will, hasn't he? Yep. Not that he's not capable of doing it, but God gets glory when a nobody, I'm not calling anybody here a nobody, well, we really are, we're all nobodies, we're nothing without Jesus. When he uses one of us to do something miraculous, then he gets all his glory. When you're up in the ceiling, Chuck, and the wind starts blowing because you asked for it to start blowing, he gets all the glory. They said, no, that wasn't Chuck. Now, we know that wasn't Chuck. But Chuck's a man of God that believes the word of God. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. That's what you've got to go after right now. And in these troubled times, you got to start believing for things that are not as though they were. Amen? That's what God wants us to do. And he said, one will put 1,000 to flight, and two will put 10,000 to flight. I'm just giving you what the Word of God says. I'm not giving you a handy little scripture to memorize. I want you to live it and believe it and claim it in Jesus' name. Because we live in a time where we're going to have, listen, all the people, how much sickness has been going around this summer? It's like the middle of summer. People's got fever and sore throats and stuff. What is this? Why is God's people getting knocked around like this? Really? Well, it's just life. No, we're above life. We're into abundant life. And no condemnation if you've been sick. I'm just tired of people being sick and pulled away from the things of God. I'm tired of seeing the world pull people away from the things of God and take their joy. God wants us to have joy in all this, praise the Lord. So like I say, I told you, I will be very brief. So we need to see those dry bones. Do you see the dry bones? Do you see them? Do you see them in your family? Do you see them at your workplace? Do you see them in the community? Do you see all the dry, very dry bones that are getting ready to just blow away? Do you see that? You got to see the need first, right? You can't bury your head in the sand and just go away. You got to see the need and you got to know that God can move and change it, right?
We gotta realize something. You know, I hate to say this, but we gotta pray over those spiritually dead, dry bones in our own life. We gotta realize that we are not vibrant and alive and kicking the way we should be. That's where we gotta start, right here. I repent, Lord. I repent for not being on fire for you. I repent, God, for letting things pull me away from you, Jesus. I repent for not loving you the way I should love you, Jesus. And that's not condemnation, that's just life. That first love life, man. He loves you so much. He loves you so much, and He has such a plan for you. Loretta, He has such a plan for you. He's not finished with any of us yet, in Jesus' name. No! And see, that's what the world will tell you. No. No. No, Mike, it's not time to quit. No, Mike, it's not time to go backwards. It's time to go forward. It's time to pick up the mantle He's put on you. It's time to grab it and pull into it and do it. You young people, man, you've got your whole life ahead of you. You're not hooked up to anything. There is no excuse for you not going after God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. No condemnation there. But there's lots of regret if you don't do it. You'll always look back and go, wow, why did I waste all those years? I'm not talking about partying or being a heathen. I don't believe you guys are headed that way. But if Satan can have you settle for just mediocrity, that's good enough. You know, that's good enough. So we got to pray over those dry bones in our own life, right? Jesus, resurrect these dry bones. Jesus, resurrect these dry bones, God. Jesus, wipe out arthritis and rheumatism. God, the bitterness is deposited in my bones, in my joints, in my ligaments. Claim it in Jesus' name. You don't have to be like this when you're 80 years old. I feel it trying to come on me sometimes, but I will not bow to that. We cannot bow to the enemy. We can't bow. Not even a little curtsy. You can't do that. You got to stand tall. You got to stand tall. So we got to, see, here's the trouble. We got to recognize where we're at with God. Is that true? And you know, usually, just like anything in life, it's the blame game, isn't it? Isn't it? If I got fed in church the way I could, I wouldn't be like this. Oh yeah, you'd be like this if you were in the midst of revival. No, I'm really, really. You can be in revival, but it don't last too long before you're just vegetating back to the old life. No, no, and I'm speaking things that I've seen. That's not what's going to happen with you guys. You're going to see it. You got to get on your knees. You got to pray the dry bones, the dead bones in church will resurrect too. If you're not happy with the way things are going in church, pray, pray, pray. Pray for a move of God. Pray for a move of God. Pray for a move of God that'll last till Jesus comes back. We're not satisfied with Brownsville. It lasted for 5 years. We want to see it go. Go. We're not satisfied with Toronto that went for 10 years. We want to see it go, 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 go. We're not satisfied with Todd Bentley. It stopped way before it should have. The flesh got in. Criticism got in. People got in. The world got in. No. It's not going to happen like that here. It's going to last till Jesus comes back. It will last till Jesus returns. We got to pray for souls. The Lord showed me the other day it's time to get another fishbowl. Y'all are going, what's a fishbowl? We used to have a 5-gallon aquarium. People would bring in pictures of their lost loved ones and friends and pictures and just names. And every week we'd spread them out, man. We'd spread them out all over the floor and we'd just pray. I don't think we even have to do that. I think the anointing of God's going to be on that so strong, you'll just be able to lay hands on that fishbowl and proclaim salvation to come, to proclaim healing to come, to proclaim deliverance to come. That's what probably in 2 weeks, might have one this week, but we got to be about prayer. We got to be about prayer. We got to pray for revival fire. Revival fire that'll draw them from the north, south, east, and the west. We got to pray for revival fire in our bones. And when we leave this place, it'll be all about telling people about Jesus. And it won't be a strain. It won't be a stress. It'll be like, oh boy, I get to tell somebody about Jesus. Because Lord, if put yourself in the place of somebody right now that's not saved, Amy. And if you watch the news very much or listen to the news, my Lord, how could you do anything but live in a pressure cooker of stress all the time and fear? But we're not like that, praise God. Don't spend too much time watching that stuff either. It will rot your brain. So I believe what has to happen I believe that we need to start believing that intercessory prayer is going to move these mountains. Mountains in your life. Don't worry about the nation right now. Worry about mountains in your life. Go after mountains in the unsaved life. Because when revival comes, guess what? The nation will straighten out. Yeah. The nation will get back to what God has called us to be. I'm not saying don't pray for your country, but I'm saying focus on revival. We need an awakening, and an awakening will change everything. And no matter who gets in for president, they can get saved.
That's right.
Whoever gets in for president can be delivered and free. Either one of them, God could move on them and everything could change. I mean, everything could change immediately. That's what we need. We need a move of God. So yes, we're going to have another soul bowl. That's what I'm going to call it, the soul bowl. But really, I feel like, and please pray for details, but I really feel like the Lord's wanting to change gears on Wednesday nights. We've always just been about just prayer. But I can foresee a worship time before it starts. And I can foresee maybe a short video to get our blood boiling for revival. And then go after God and go after our individual needs. Take care of that right off the bat. Just healed. See people just get healed immediately and free. See people delivered from problems and sin immediately. And then we go into intercessory prayer. We pray for souls. We pray for revival. And that's the two things we need to focus on. But I think it's going to get very exciting here. I think it's going to be exciting. It's going to be the best. I'm praying and I'm speaking things that are not as though they were. It'll be the most exciting service and draw more people to the prayer meeting than Sunday mornings. That's what I'm believing for, that God's going to move in the prayer meeting. It's going to be an exciting place to be. It's going to be a place you don't want to miss, not a place that you feel, obligated. Yeah, it's good to be obligated. It's good to be faithful, but it's a lot better to do it with joy. So that's what I want to see God release on us. So Jesus, we cry out to you, Lord. You are exciting, Jesus. You are amazing, Jesus. You are the God that delivers. You are the God that heals. You are the God that casts out demons, God. You are the God that gives us new tongues. You are the God that gives us salvation, Lord. You are the God that changes things, God. You are the God of the impossible, Lord. God, we look at you and we think, oh, Jesus, this is impossible. But with you, all things are possible, Lord. Let's speak things that are not as though they were. Let's stand up and speak things that are not as though they were. I speak things that are not as though they were. Lord, I put your hand on your belly. I speak to these dry bones right now. I speak to these dry bones and I speak life. Breathe, Holy Spirit. Breathe on these dry bones. Breathe on me, Jesus. Breathe on this boredom I've been walking in. Breathe on this monotony, God. Work and life and sleep and eat, God. There's more. There's got to be more, God. There's got to be more, Lord. Loose us. Passion, God. Pour out your passion, Jesus. Pour out your passion, Jesus. Lord, we prophesy right now. We speak to the dry bones. We speak to things that are not as though they were. We speak to this building to be filled, God. We speak, God, to see souls at this altar. We speak to see souls. Y'all believe it. You see it, you believe it. See it. Look and see it. See souls at this altar. See it. See it. I speak to the enemy. I tell you, you have lost. You have lost the battle. You will not overcome me anymore. You will not deceive me anymore. You will not confuse me anymore. I am more than a conqueror. I speak. Speak it. I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror through you, Lord Jesus, who strengthens me. Amen.